Okay, we are testing the Ron Jeremy microphone, and hopefully it is working. Let's see. The weapon of mass destruction is working, yes. Okay, and this other phallic microphone appears to be working. All right, I am ready anytime. Give the word. Okay, we're starting. Good evening, this is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight there is a very special show that awaits you. The theme is Legalize Marijuana and Free the Weed Prisoners. And it's high time for all of that. And fortunately it is on the front burner again, or at least as close to the front burner as it's going to get. So we have a stellar playlist and lots of news and goodies. I'm going to get to as much as possible and just get in as much as we have time for. Tonight is also one of our sacred annual holiday traditions, Palm and Stroke Sunday. So that is a kind of a sub-theme. And we have a short play later that we will play in honor of Palm and Stroke Sunday. But we thought it is high time to do the theme Legalize Marijuana and Free the Weed Prisoners, not just because of long-term friend and book burner, Mr. Z, being in prison for pot, but also because so many others are. So much money is spent on the propaganda bullshit, war on drugs, the prison industrial complex, and all these whacked groups to enforce this absolutely thoroughly absurd war against a plant that is actually not only a useful plant and an environmentally sound plant and a medicinal plant, but a damn good, euphoric, and pleasurable plant as well. Happy 420, book burners, or people who are sympathetic with the 420 book burners. And we're going to start off with the first set of music. We will hear some new stuff. The animation show theme for the Reverend Bookburn animation show. A track by Davey. I always pronounce the band wrong. It's D-E-V-I. They're good friends and they're going to participate in the upcoming Reverend Bookburn birthday show. And we're going to play one of Davey's tracks. But we're going to start off this very special show with a track entitled El Muerto by Los Fabulosos Cadillacs.
Gloria, fueron tan puras que lo hicieron. This is Halliburton, Ernie, and it's such a delight to be here at VoltaRadio.com with Reverend Bookburn, Pastor Whoremaster, and John the Craptist. And I was supposed to announce that the last track entitled Get Free went out to marijuana prisoner of war, Mr. Z, who we hope is freed very soon and possibly early or pardoned. And now it gives me great pleasure to celebrate the legalization of marijuana and the freeing of weed prisoners here in this delightful and beautifully scented studio where Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist so thoughtfully opted to conduct their own personal research into the effects of marijuana. And they're looking pretty healthy, not a whole lot of energy, but they're looking healthy and they're having fun and maybe just a tad on the giggly side. And now we're going to play the theme song from Reverend Bookburn's animation show, which is forthcoming.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Do so. Hello. Very simple Hello. Song. You'll catch on to it as we go along.
I like marijuana. I like marijuana. I like marijuana. I sure do like to get stoned. Yeah, I like marijuana. I like marijuana. I like
night.
Thank you.
Johnson had fallen, Grateful Dead, and the White Knight breaking black words to distract you from the
red ring.
This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. It's on live Sunday nights at RadioVolta.org and archived at Radio4All.net, and updates, details, links, goodies, and playlists always at ReverendBookburn.com. The Reverend is available for weddings of couples or groups of any orientation or lifestyle, including those from the transgendered or kink communities, outside or across the street from Catholic, fundamentalist, or any other Taliban-modeled theocratic church. To write to the Reverend for feedback to already done shows, input to forthcoming themed shows, or to send cartoons or music videos, requests for exorcisms or reverse exorcisms, or any reason except sending spam, unless it's the hilarious Jesus spam that continues to roll in to this day, write to RevBookburn at sjcdc.org. Happy 420, everybody. And please remember that we are trying to be responsible for at least 10,000 more sales of AKA Tommy Chung, because that was the number of DVDs seized, in other words, stolen by the Gestapo people in the Drug Enforcement Agency. Hello to Jello Biafra and all of the folks at AlternativeTentacles.com. Please remember that the boycott of the corporate scab version of the dead Kennedys remains. And hello to Dr. Susan Block, legendary sexologist and sex-positive alternative to Dr. Laura. And you can check out her blogs at drsusanblock.com/blog. A big thank you to Pastor Rex Cat, Murgatroyd Productions, Mr. Scott, Philadelphia Independent Media Center, Lava Zone, Radio for All, Baby Jesus Butt Plug, Hippie John, Mr. Z, and of course our in-house, whatever they do, Pastor Whoremaster, and John the Craptus. This is a pioneering, diverse presentation to push independent media to its utmost possibilities. Like George W. Numbnuts, war criminal, Enron Ho, corporate stooge, Taliban wannabe, fetal worshipping, piss poor impersonator of Forrest Gump, Bush. God speaks through me.
Yes, I am
That was a reminder from the lower power to not forget to put on a show for the spies. It's time for open curtain exhibitionism and kink. The Lord commandeth ye. Thank you, Mr. Scott, for that recording of the often used introduction in the 8 years of this show. The one thing you didn't hear was the set list for the first set of tunes, which means you heard Ruin doing White Rabbit. Ho Ag did Up Periscope on the Submarine Unspeakable. Country Joe and the Fish did a live version of I Like Marijuana. You heard Reverend Bookburn's animation theme. Before that, a song we intended to send out to Mr. Z and all marijuana prisoners of war by Davey, entitled Get Free. And started off with Los Fabulosos Cadillacs doing El Moreto. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is legalize marijuana and free the weed prisoners. And a sub-theme is going to be Palm and Stroke Sunday. So we're going to help you accomplish that also in the course of tonight's show. And Palm and Stroke Sunday, of course, is a sacred annual holiday tradition on the show. And we're going to deprive you of another sacred annual holiday tradition next Sunday night. Instead of doing Easter, what some people will do to get nailed, we're going to be doing weekend one of Reverend Bookburn birthday activity, followed by weekend two of Reverend Bookburn birthday activity. And then we will be returning on the air on April 26th for Reverend Bookburn's birthday shows. Birthday show. God, I'm acting like these two guys. That is on April 26th. And we don't know what's in store for that. We like the ideas you've been sending. And some great feedback and some great input from Bookburners, as usual. We don't know exactly what's going to happen on the birthday show. We do have some sound and some birthday-related singing. As you know, one of the Reverend's birthday pleasures besides spanking is for somebody to sing happy birthday the way Marilyn Monroe sang Happy Birthday, Mr. President, to John F. Kennedy before both of them were offed by the powers. And we're going to have that and a whole lot more. So that will be the next show, April 26th, Reverend Bookburn's birthday show. And speaking of birthdays, we have to say happy birthday to a handful of people. Let's see. Happy birthday to the Reverend's good friend and longtime book burner and occasional guest, Lord Jesus. Yes, the person responsible for some of the sounds you hear in the course of the show, always turning us on to new music and new movies and all of the weird, crazy stuff. Happy birthday, Lord Jesus. In a couple of days, on April 9th, happy birthday to 60s legend and legend ever since, former realist publisher and book and CD releaser Paul Krasner, And he has an upcoming book in a couple of months entitled Who's to Say What's Obscene? Happy birthday, Paul Krasner. Happy birthday to DJ Cindy of VoltaRadio.com. And happy birthday, Heidi Helper. Okay. And, oh, these aren't birthdays. These are just shout-outs. Happy birthday to, I mean, hello to T. Cush and friends. And people who've been helpful with tonight's show, besides the usual crew. T. Cush and friends, the Plastics, who are cool and may be coming on the show. And it's 2 days late, but hello to World Party Day and the Reverend's friends from the hardcore band All or Nothing HC from California with a new recording we're going to hear on the next show, and new publications, new projects, all from the underground and political end of the punk scene. Okay, any more hellos or birthdays? Big help over there. Okay, that will about do it. So there is way too much shit on paper and probably not enough time, since it is a common tendency to plan for 8-hour shows instead of two. And we do go a little overtime often, but we can't do it too much, we found out. So we are not going to go drastically over time, which means that we are going to focus on the priorities. And there were questions about the last couple of shows. We'll get to them if possible. And mostly hit on the priorities. And the priorities are, first, we want to say that we are here in support of Mr. Z, who is a marijuana prisoner of war, and to all other marijuana prisoners of war and this insidious war against weed. And it has now, well, not now, it has long been well over 50%. The inmate population, the vast, numerous inmate population of this nation, to be nonviolent offenders who violated these idiotic war on drugs laws. That means that the most insidious of criminals have to be discharged or released from the prison system to make room for the half-baked stoner heads, which is as stupid and mind-boggling as it is shocking, but it is true. And that's the difference between a nation that has hysteria and is not outgrown a kind of a Cold War culture and Cold War-oriented corporate media that has to have a villain of the month and a kind of a stigmatized enemy of the month, and a nation that truly is a democracy like Holland, in which in Amsterdam they treat people who have some kind of social problem in society, and for the things that are relatively harmless, like hemp and hashish, in fact, I would argue entirely harmless, then they are left alone, and they focus on, very good, you guessed right over there, Mr. High Functioning, they focus on the real fucking criminals. Imagine. So, we say this not just rhetorically, but to say that it is time for a review of all of these policies. When Representative from Congress Loretta Sanchez called for the legalization of marijuana in California to end the gangs and thugs and organized crime and all of the violence in Mexico spilling over into the U.S., and the recent defeat of the ancient Rockefeller drug laws in New York. Rockefeller, that had to be the funniest heart attack during a sex scandal ever. This, like, total asshole fascist with a beautiful young secretary who was afraid to call 911. Anyway, his idiotic drug laws that have been on the books for decades, just this week, were killed. So it's also on the front burner because it's being discussed now that, whether you believe this is a time of change since the fall of the criminal Bush regime, or whether it is merely the illusion of change, or whether it's a kind of a reality that's somewhere in between the two, regardless, it is time to fight myths, fight destructive policies, expose bullshit pertaining to all issues, from survival issues to cultural issues, and to put an end, not just to wasteful, unbelievably insane amounts of spending, but also in the interest of justice, what makes sense. And a part of the process of doing that is destroying the myths. And myth number one is that there's some kind of magical new marijuana. They know that the parental generation of today lived through a funny time, whether it was in the 60s or the 70s, and possibly tried it, Bill Clinton style, even if they didn't supposedly inhale, which is kind of funny. It's like saying I didn't come. But so they know that there is a generation that knows that ordinary rhetoric is going to be total bullshit, and they're going to know it as soon as they hear it. So they invented this new magic pot, the pot from the Half-Baked movie, where humans and dogs can fly and dead rock stars can appear and all kinds of shit like that. And of course, it's hard, especially for these two guys who are in the middle of their self-styled personal research on this issue this evening. It's an inevitable question of theirs. Where can you find that pot? So what they do is they invent propaganda around the new pot from Mars that's different than the pot when you were a kid. And that's horseshit. The addictions industry, which is a kind of an extension of the religion propaganda industry, and specifically the 12-step monopoly and delusional higher power recovery systems, which is a show unto itself, and we've done such shows. Everything's an addiction, and there is such a thing as marijuana addiction. Well, that, of course, is total horseshit. And the actual definition of addiction, and we're going by education, research, clinical data, and the real world, since religious propaganda did not succeed to totally destroy education and research, even during the Bush regime. The clinical definition of addiction is symptomatic of withdrawal. So these idiotic concepts like love addict or sex addict or porn addict or internet addict or a television addict or gambling addict or golf club addict are just that, ludicrous concepts and misuses and propagandistic uses of the term. I've never, when going without sex, writhed on the floor in agony and withdrawal, screaming in agony, banging my head on the floor, scratching the wood, gnashing my teeth, smashing my head, writhing and screaming and rolling on the floor. Okay, that is a bad example, and I have done that, but that's an unusual circumstance. For the most part, all of these bogus propagandistic uses of the term addiction do not apply, and do not apply to marijuana. That's more propaganda from the addiction industry and an extension of reefer madness syndrome. Reefer madness syndrome is something that continues to this day but is modified. Now, when you look at the film Reefer Madness, it's funny and people laugh during parties, and for good reason, and as well they should, and it's good that people can get a laugh out of it. But when it was made, it was presented as a real fact-based film, and it was made in part to cover up the fact that in the 1930s, when marijuana was illegalized, it was largely a racist law. And it was before the 60s. It was before there were, as the band The Tubes put it, white punks on dope. And racism was a big variable, and a lot of other variables. If you went to history, a great resource is Jack Herrar's book, The Emperor Has No Clothes, History of Cannabis in This Culture. So Reefer Madness was actually presented as a real fact-based film, and so was the entire Cold War. You know, we have to build up our arms and break the nation's economy with insane levels of spending for military and Pentagon's, something we're still doing even now. With the economy fucked in the ass without consent or lube from a process that began with Reagan and climaxed with George W. Bush and his looting and bailouts. The Cold War, we need to build defense contracting to this day. And of course, scapegoatism. Propaganda to scapegoat anybody, whether it's potheads, whether it's gay people, whether it's welfare mothers, whether it's people with disabilities, homeless people, immigrants, wherever hate is targeted. And that's something that needs to be shit canned. We're fighting for our survival as a world against this destructiveness of the system and the systems worldwide. And we're fighting for justice. We're fighting for economic survival. And it's more urgent than ever that all propaganda and all myths and all bullshit is exposed and spoken up about. And with marijuana and the weed prisoners and the prison issue overall, we need to be loud advocates. And that doesn't mean letting someone do it for you, like saying the new president's going to do it for us, or, and I can't believe some people actually believe this, or Ron Paul will do it for us, the man that said the free market can be the healer of global warming and take care of the American healthcare system. Yes, he was Bush and drag. No, nobody's going to do it for you or for us. We need to speak up. And whether it's at change.org or blogs or media opinion or letters pages or what have you, but it's time to be vocal. It's time to be visible. Getting talked out and ready to return to the music. So, let's see. We're going to review Religulist tonight because we watched that and it is incredible. And we want you to yell something in the room that you are in right now. Because after Olympic gold medal winner Michael Phelps' infamous bong publicity and being pulled from Kellogg's dropping their sponsorship of him, we covered that on the show, but I wanted to mention it tonight, and we want people to yell in the rooms that they're in. And if there's other people in the house and you don't want them to hear you yell, then just say it out loud, but not too loud. Everybody tonight, please say out loud, "Fuck Kellogg's." You ready? Hey, you two. Together. Fuck Kellogg's. They were assholes of the week during one show. All right. Talked out. And let's see. I'm not going to look to those two guys for too much assistance. So let's see what's coming up on this set. Rise Against the Subhumans. April 9th, Birthday Boy, Paul Krasner, and something from transgendered rock star Wayne Jane County. But first, since this is also Palm and Stroke Sunday, a sacred annual tradition, and hopefully people having an opportunity to palm or stroke on this very special day, especially since we're not going to help you get nailed on Easter, since we're taking the night off. We're going to acknowledge Palmer Stroke Sunday by playing a play. It's not too long, and it's going to precede the songs. And we're going to play this for a man who is in the priesthood, named Father Pavone. Father Pavone is the head of an organization called Pedophile Priests for Life. Yes, he's one of these fetus-obsessed assholes, and probably a pedophile. And although it was relief when a book burner found out that his adult female companion answered his hotel room telephone. We can't say who did this, but she was from a group called Silent No More, a group that obviously advocates loud orgasms. And Father Pavone is at it again, making these like stupid fetus videos, and because he's so moral, he's part of the Church of Pedophilia. But he wants to moralize and oppress women anyway. This freakish oof who is now polluting YouTube. So we're going to play this for Father Pavone in honor of Palm and Stroke Sunday. This is a play that was written by our very own Nancy McLernan from Murgatroyd Productions of the original and long-standing book burners. And this is entitled Personal Jesus.
It's an ordinary lunch shift at a diner in New York City. Trixie, a waitress, enters, followed by Betty. Betty is a member of the Proposition 19 committee. Betty takes a seat in a booth. Can I get you some coffee, hun?
Yes, please.
What's that button there? On your shirt. What does that say?
It says yes to 19.
What's 19?
Proposition 19. That's the bill to make gay marriage illegal in this state.
Oh, I see. I keep out of politics myself.
I used to be that way, but you have to get involved, or our country will just end up swimming in filth and immorality.
My motto is, why can't we all get along? Do you know what you want?
I need a minute.
Okay. Trixie waits on Clara, another customer sitting in a booth. Anything else?
Just the check, please.
Okie doke. Clara bows her head and prays.
Dear Jesus, Angela and I have been so happy this past year. Please don't let them take that away from us. We're buying a home together. We're hoping to adopt together. Please intercede on our behalf. For you are the light and the hope and the way. Amen.
Mellow Jesus, Clara's personal Jesus, enters. He's wearing an iPod.
Hi, Clara. I'm sorry. I missed some of your prayer. I was blasting Handel's Messiah. Don't you love it? Hallelujah! Did you ever hear the version by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer?
I never got into progressive rock.
Your loss. So, what's up, pup?
Remember last year? I went to church and prayed for an hour thanking you because you allowed Angela and I to get married?
Yes, and I appreciated that.
They are trying to take it all away! This Proposition 19 that the right-wingers are trying to pass. It would make our marriage null and void.
Why would they do that?
Wrong! They say we're evil.
My children are not evil.
If they truly knew you, they would understand that. Could you please go to them and touch their hearts and help them understand how wrong they are?
Of course.
Oh, Jesus, you are so good.
You know the saying, God is great, God is good. Let us thank him for this food. Speaking of food, can I have one of those French fries?
Sure.
Look, I just turned this French fry into a yam fry. Yams are much better for you. They have lots of vitamins, while potatoes are mostly carbs. Now, I'm off to change some hearts. See ya.
Give him heck, Jesus.
Just as Jesus reaches the exit, Angry Jesus enters. Angry Jesus is Betty's personal Jesus.
Where do you think you're going, hippie?
Hello. Have we met?
I'm Jesus, the Christ, Lord, and Savior.
Really? Oh, but then who am I? I thought I was Jesus.
You can't be. There is only one Jesus.
Well, I think the Martinez family down the street would disagree.
Don't get cute, faggot!
Hey, now, that is not cool. I'm not gay. I'm asexual.
Well, if you ain't a faggot, how come you're such a faggot lover? You are the faggots get married. Betty over there prayed to me to help pass Proposition 19.
You tell him, my lord. Don't listen to her, Jesus.
You tell that bitch to be cool.
You shouldn't talk about one of my children that way.
I'll do more than that. I just turned her coffee into 10W40 motor oil.
Ew, he did.
Well, then, I just caused Betty to have a lustful thought about Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, Jennifer, what am I saying?
Two can play at that game.
George Clooney. Oh, no.
You can't really be Jesus. You're a fascist.
The hell I can't. I said, think not that I am come to bring peace on earth. I came to bring a sword.
Well, but I said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
There's only one child of God, and that's me.
If someone should smite thee on thy cheek, turn the other to him.
You shall not suffer a witch to live.
Oh, that's from the Old Testament. The New Testament supersedes the Old Testament.
It does not. Everything in the Old Testament is literal truth.
Please don't waste any more time with him, Jesus. You have to stop Prop 19.
You are right, Clara.
Oh, no, you don't.
Hey, you just punched me.
I'll kick your hippie ass.
That is not cool.
What's the matter, McFly chicken? Buck, 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 buck.
Don't test me. I will defend myself if I have to. I'm mellow Jesus, not pacifist Jesus.
How about a knuckle sand? Mellow Jesus. Oh, no. Oh, oh, oh.
Incompatible conceptions of Jesus duking it out again. Hey, fat man, get out here!
Zen Buddha enters. He is dressed as a short order cook. He works at the diner, apparently.
Do unto others only what you wish to be done unto you.
Hey, that's one of my sayings.
But I said it first.
The hell you did, Chinaman.
That isn't just any old Chinaman. That's Zen Buddha.
Oh, I'm so scared. You think you can take me, Chinaman?
He could if he wanted to, but that's not his style.
A woman bought a golden statue of Buddha. Wherever she went, she took her golden Buddha with her. One day, she came to a temple where there were many shrines. The woman set up a shrine for her golden Buddha. However, she did not wish to share her incense with any other shrine, and so she devised a funnel through which the smoke would ascend only to her golden Buddha. Soon, the face of her golden Buddha was covered with dirty soot.
And with that, they became enlightened.
What in the...
I said, and with that, they became enlightened. Now maybe we'll get some peace and quiet around here.
The end.
Thank you. toilet, love. We both like toilet, love. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like toilet, love. You like toilet, love. We both like toilet, love. Yeah, yeah. I love it when you smell my dirty sock. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like toilet love. You like toilet love. We both like toilet love. Yeah, yeah.
It's strange, you know, the Catholic Church has a real dilemma because they were almost going to approve condoms because they would prevent the AIDS virus from getting in, but then they realized that meant that the spermatozoa couldn't get out, and so it would be an artificial means of birth control. So they tried to get a theologically correct, and the first model had little tiny pinhole pricks in it just to give the spermatozoa a fighting chance. You know, that's all they ask for. But then, if that were the case, the HIV could get in. So they went back to the Vatican drawing board and came out with theologically correct condom 2, which also had the teeny tiny little pinhole pricks in the rubber, but it also had feather repellers and a stenciled warning on the reservoir tip. Wrong way, do not enter, severe tire damage. On April Fool's Day, I was in San Francisco, and it was a lovely sunny day. I was wearing a jacket that my daughter had given me from Mad Magazine. So it had Alfred Newman on the back saying, "What me worry?" And I was in Washington Square Park waiting for the St. Stupid Day Parade to come, which was sponsored by the Church of the Last Laugh, typical San Francisco activity. There were people dressed in clown suits there, and there was a bunch of musical instruments that had the yellow police tape around them that said, "Police line, do not cross." And a guy in a clown costume gave me a few feet of it, which I rolled up and put in my pocket. But it was that kind of afternoon. So I was in San Francisco because I was going to emcee a benefit for Jan Kerouac, the daughter of Jack Kerouac, even though she only met him once. You know, to be a sperm donor is not enough anymore. And that's where Beat came from, the Beat Generation, from Deadbeat Dad. Nobody ever knew that before. But Jan was very ill. She has since died, but we were holding a benefit for her that night at a theater in Fort Mason in San Francisco near the wharf. And backstage, somebody had given me a little baggie of something. You know, people do that as a gesture. And I said, "Thanks very much." He said, "You really enjoy it." And I put it in my pocket and forgot about it. Now, out in the parking lot, I'm in the car with my friend Julius, who is an inveterate pot smoker. I mean, he was once going to drive a woman to the hospital when she was going to have a baby. And she started to have her contractions, and he says, "Wait a minute," and he's still rolling a joint for the trip. So we're in the parking lot, and he's rolling a joint in the cardboard box on the dashboard with the map light on. And then we see a cop's car way in the distance, and they're over there, so we feel okay, not realizing they're circling around the whole parking lot and coming behind us with off. And I'm on the passenger side, and suddenly there's a knock on the window and a big flashlight. And you know how your heart suddenly goes thump? You know it's reality. You don't have to pinch yourself. You know that your whole life has inevitably led to this point. And you might have said something. I don't think it's good to roll a joint with the map light on. You know, you kind of just let yourself be cowed. Now, Julius and I get out of the car and get to the side of the car, and he had only the pot, so he gets a $50 citation. And now the guy is searching me, and I'm trying to think, can I throw this little baggie away? But I couldn't. It was just too late. I mean, I was stuck with it. And there he is searching me, looking at my back, which has Alfred E. Newman staring back at him, saying, "What me worry?" And he's saying, "You don't have anything sharp in your pockets, do you?" I guess he figures needles. I say, no, there's keys in that pocket and a pen in that pocket. And he says, "Because if I get stuck, I'm going to be very mad." And then he pulls out of one of my pockets, rolls it, this yellow police tape. And he says, "Where'd you get that?" I said, "I got it at the St. Stupid Day Parade." He said, "What's it for?" I said, "To hold people back." And then suddenly he comes upon the little baggie, throws it on the hood of the car, and there it is. And I'm saying to myself, psilocybin. And the cop says, "So you like mushrooms, huh?" And I get handcuffed and taken in a car. This is federal property, Fort Mason, so these are federal cops. So they're taking me to the Presidio there in handcuffs behind my back. And, you know, mushrooms to me have always been very pleasant. I even took mushrooms when I was going to be on the Tom Snyder show, just as a kind of mushroom macho. And it was strange because it came on during the interview, and I was talking about how I believe that the CIA had programs of mind control experimentation. And Tom Steiner says, oh, so you're paranoid, huh? I say, well, Tom, you know, conspiracy and paranoia are not synonymous. And he says, oh, yeah, yeah, you're paranoid, all conspiracy theories. And I say, well, look, I'll tell you about a real conspiracy theory. And he goes, okay, what, knitting his brows. And I say, well, horse ruffian who broke her leg in a race and then they shot her. He says, yeah, yeah, what about it? I said, well, you know why they shot her? She knew too much. So Snyder is looking around at his producer like, who booked this flake? And then he realizes that it was a put-on, and he starts laughing. And to me, on The Mushroom, it looked like Tom Snyder doing Dan Aykroyd doing him. And his laughter is like musical notes on a scale. So I'm in the back of the police car remembering this with my handcuffs on, and they bring me to the Presidio. They take the handcuffs off so they can take my fingerprints. And now the guy's trying to be nice. And he's saying, so you're a comedian, huh? While he's rolling my fingers. Because these guys are young twerps who have never had a drug bust before. You know, they're just traffic things there. So I sat in the cell there, and I was getting angry. I wasn't scared because I hadn't harmed anyone. You know, I mean, what am I doing here? You just felt the insanity of it. And as it turned out, I was ready to have a trial. So they decided that it was just enough for personal use. And so therefore, I got a $200 citation and nothing on my permanent record. But it was very strange because I realized what I was about and what I was sad about was the implications of this guy saying, so you like mushrooms, huh? It was like him saying, so you like the evolution of consciousness, huh? Because when the Berlin Wall crumbled in 1989 and communism fell, they had to replace it with the war on drugs. They had to have that hysteria go somewhere. So, you know, what do we have? It's a war on drugs, and we have a general, General McCaffrey, as the drug czar. The first drug czar was William Bennett, who then became the education czar, and now he's the virtue czar. So it was a war on drugs, and as long as the government can decide arbitrarily which drugs are legal and which are illegal, then anybody behind bars for any kind of drugs is a political... Over 10 million people have been arrested for smoking marijuana. Over 10 million. And now, of course, they're getting hysterical again because Proposition 215 was passed. And so General McCaffrey says, oh, now there's going to be more crime because people can smoke pot to ease their nausea. But, of course, we have a secret weapon, which is Bong. The neutron bong wipes out the user but leaves the stash intact. So now they've even brought it to the home where parents can buy in the drugstore a home drug test kit where they have their kids pee in a cup, you know, build up trust. And then they send it to some place and get a number. So I decided I wanted to try it. See, what happens is it's like a chess game. The technology comes where you can test for drugs at home. So then the technology is also where you can now get powdered urine by mail that's drug-free. You just pour it into a glass, add warm water, and stir, and you have drug-free urine for your next test. So when Ed Pearl told me that I would have to take a drug test to perform here, I got some of this yellow powder in the mail. And then I got stoned to really test it. I got so stoned, though, that I poured the yellow powder into a glass, and then I peed in it. And then I decided to drink it. Because I wanted to raise my spiritual consciousness to a higher plateau. So I'll tell you what I learned from it, and you don't have to do it. Drinking your own urine does not raise your spiritual quest to a higher plateau. It's the decision to drink your own urine that does the trick. Once you decide to drink your own piss, you're halfway there. It's one of the earliest taboos. Don't drink your waste matter. So you taste it a little salty, perhaps, but... And once you transcend one taboo, it has a ricochet effect, and you can start looking more objectively at other taboos. So that's one of the perks of coming tonight, is that you don't have to drink your own urine to know how it works.
cigarettes, 14 are household pets, bombs, wars, famine, death, an apathetic public couldn't get that.
Greed, and when I'm not busy bilking urban patients and fucking over people with Medicaid and leaving all kinds of shit on the front lawn, I listen to Rise Against, and this is one of my favorite tracks by them, entitled Blood Red, White, and Blue.
you heard Rise Against doing Blood Red, White, and Blue, the Subhumans, the British version of the Subhumans, not the Canadian. The Subhumans did Apathy. Paul Krasner, Birthday Boy, did Condom Blues and Mushroom Bust from his comedy CD Brain Damage Control, which is also the name of his column in High Times magazine. Social Distortion did Rire. Wayne Jane County did Toilet Love. And we started off with the play from Murgatroyd Productions entitled Personal Jesus. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is Legalize Marijuana and Free the Weed Prisoners. And it is also Palm and Stroke Sunday, hence the play that you heard earlier. And thank you, Nancy, for sending that to us. And there is way, way too much shit to cover everything. So we're just going to cover stuff for a while, play a final set, and that will end it. There is going to be another DVD from or based on Allen Ginsberg entitled Howl, which is his epic poem from, it's kind of before the hippies of the 60s. Howl was written during the Beat era. And so I don't know what Howl is going to be like, or trying to put his poem and his arguably his best film ought to be very interesting. We did recently get The Life and Times of Allen Ginsberg, which is well recommended. And Allen was famous for, besides being a writer and one of the best known from the Beat generation, he was also an early advocate of legalizing marijuana. Him holding a sign in the early 60s, not the later 60s, of pot is fun, or I like, survived even the corporate media and Life magazine and all that shit. An early psychedelic pioneer with Dr. Timothy Leary. And these were the guys who were responsible for the Beatles and Dylan getting turned on, and other people who helped kind of shape the counterculture and make it as incredibly large as it got during that time period. Allen was a major figure and also a great person. And Howl is one of his better writings. So this ought to be interesting. The DVD that comes out entitled Howl, based on Allen Ginsberg's epic poem. Okay, and speaking of DVDs, we watched a lot. And by far the best is Religulous, made by Bill Maher. And he made a popular film that had a lot of information that used to be in barely known films. The history of religious mythology was first exposed in The Naked Truth, exposing the deceptions about the origins of modern religions. And after that came out, The God That Wasn't There was made, which was also great. And then the first segment of the Zeitgeist movie had a lot of this kind of information. Bill Maher made a more accessible and more publicly known and highly entertaining and watchable film entitled Religious, 5 stars, and very highly recommended, and definitely has its humorous moments along with tackling heavy subjects. Religious, we saw Super High Me, so I guess that was the Stonerhead movie that we haven't reviewed already on the show. And it started off kind of stupid, where he's bashing the Super Size Me film and talking about his decision to make it. Size Me is extremely recommended and great. And but this one was also good and pretty entertaining, enlightening to people who need enlightenment on the subject. And it was amazing how many comedy gigs this guy got. Like, it seemed like he was on every other day and sharing his experience as a part of his research in Super High Me. And much like these two guys in here. So maybe we should put them on a stage and have them talk about what they're going through as voluntary marijuana researchers. Okay, from the old shows. After the George W. Bush trial, did that lead to the exposing of Wall Street and corporate America and the total corruption and insanity of the free market system and having a government that represents only corporate America? It's hard to say, because he was pulling this shit all along. You know, whenever he got an excuse, like they jumped up and down and creamed when 9/11 happened. And the first thing he did was what he called an economic package, which was a big, giant corporate welfare check to corporate America. And the same way the Pentagon is coming all over the place right now because of North Korea. It's like, oh, good. Funding, we'll get trillions of dollars, yay. And so Bush was like that all along. When these companies started collapsing towards the end, and then he decided to say fuck you to the entire nation and give what they called the bailout, that was just the final push. But it does mean that the system is exposed, which is why the conservative pundits and all these flaky mouthpieces in the corporate media are going so crazy. Not just Rush and O'Reilly, but, you know, all the wannabes as well. But what it means is that the system that began under Reagan, this whole, like, free market government for the corporation kind of system that began with Reagan until this big collapse that resulted from the Bush regime, means a lot of things, including the fact that the people who resisted these free trade agreements and other insanity and chose not to be sweatshop perpetrators and to be little satellites for corporate America are vindicated. And that means that the leader of Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, is vindicated and was right all along to not participate in that sickness. Hugo Chavez is vindicated, and so are the Dixie Chicks. Speaking of Chavez, it would have been farm labor union organizer and nonviolent activist Cesar Chavez's birthday, had he still been alive, this past March 31st. And as usual, the official events and official websites were narrow. They're like the Martin Luther King tribute sites and websites, and even his histories as provided. They focus on one or two components about them. Cesar Chavez, especially towards the end, became a strong animal rights supporter, as did the late Coretta Scott King, who was the widow of Dr. Martin Luther King. And that's not acknowledged, so we're saying it here, since all these articles just totally leave that stuff out. And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated on April 4th, 1968, was also strongly anti-war and strongly pro-labor. So if you read or heard something at school or saw something on TV that left all that shit out, there's great resources where you can look up to the contrary. You could probably find them easier on your own, you know, or Googling them. But we link a lot of great resources and information at ReverendBookburn.com, including on these kinds of subjects. Let's see, what else is going on? We're saddened by the Natasha Richardson story, but didn't want to talk about it too much because it's been overly hyped and sensationalized in the corporate media. Probably the most insensitive of all was the coverage in People magazine. And so wishes of peace and healing to her widower, her son, to her mother, Vanessa Redgrave, and her aunt, Lynn Redgrave. And one way to, I guess, kind of have a memorial for her is to have a showing, or even just watch it yourself, of The Handmaid's Tale, left out of the majority of articles about her that listed movies made after that. But it was good, and it exposed, it was a fictional story, but it showed what a theocracy, what a religious dictatorship would be like after it comes to power. And if the American Christian Taliban got their way and became in charge of the nation, Handmaid's Tale, it stars Natasha Richardson and is highly recommended. And also we wanted to send our thoughts out to the people affected by another retard, the guy who perpetrated violence against 14 immigrants in Binghamton, New York. Binghamton is a hate capital. It's like there's always been famous racists, famous anti-abortion terrorist Randall Terry is from there, and homophobes and all kinds of inbreeders and weird people like that. And so wanted to send wishes of peace and healing to those who survived that or were affected by it. Okay. There's way too much shit on this paper. And on an upbeat note, Reverend Billy is back in the news again, running for mayor of New York. And they were considering banning him from England. I guess he wanted to go to G20 and do his protest thing there. You can check him out online at voterevbilly.org, where I believe you can even add your input as to whether or not Reverend Billy should be banned from England. Okay. What else? We already covered all that shit. Right to Ron Paul. All right, so we're going to fight mythology, whether it's about the economy, whether it's about all these idiots from Rush to O'Reilly decrying all the economic woes that are caused by the new administration, which I think the majority of people with more than an inch of forehead realize is propagandistic bullshit. And going to cut through economic myths, all myths that lead me against race, gender, orientation, or anything, and inclusive in that, all myths pertaining to the war on drugs, the myth that marijuana is addictive, the myth that marijuana is dangerous, the myth that people who are charged with marijuana offenses deserve the insane Reagan-era war on drugs in the 80s ruling that there be mandatory minimum sentencing guidelines, something a lot of violent criminals don't even find themselves up against. The myth that prisons and jails need to absorb billions more dollars to maintain perpetrators of victimless crimes, whether they're marijuana smokers or sex workers or anything that is without a crime, without a victim. The myth that prohibition is actually fighting against crime when it's the opposite. It's in the hands of thugs and assholes because it is illegal. It's like the people who make these really stupid human trafficking arguments. It's like, you can't legalize prostitution because then it'll be even more trafficking, and one out of three people is a trafficker, and all this other plausible stuff that they say. It's like the opposite is true. Legalize victimless crimes, take it away from thugs and organized crime, and develop a humane system like in Amsterdam, where the focus is health concerns, treating people for health problems, treating people for real addictions, and letting harmless things go on without being criminalized, and protecting people from violence and real criminals. All right. And there's also a lot of good, besides people who are pushing for marijuana law reform, there's good proposals that are coming up again regarding the prison issue, whether it's pot prisoners or sex workers or other people who don't belong in prison, perpetrators of victimless crimes, with consenting adults. And these are laws like the Second Chance Act, bringing back parole, and things that were done more like in Cold War hysteria times, where some jack-off was running for office and said, I will get tough on the pots, and I will get tough on the prisoners and cause there to be millions more with my tough new regulations. And all the inbreeders would believe them, and they would be the ones who voted or, you know, participated in the process. And this thing, this started in the '80s. And so laws, including not just the war on drugs, but laws regarding prisoners and prisons, got worse and worse. And the numbers skyrocketed as these insane laws passed. And now there's talk about being more intelligent about it and passing policies that should be passed, like the Second Chance Act, and laws that impact prisoners who are perpetrators of nonviolent so-called crimes. I'm talked out again, and there's page after page of shit. Let's see, since we're missing 2 weeks for birthday-related activity, April 19th is not just the day before 420, which is a holiday celebrated by people of peace and the greatest plan on earth. It's subjective, but okay. 420 is generally a happy day. The day before is National Nutcase Day. At first, the crazy pedophile cult, I don't mean the Catholic Church, I mean a much smaller pedophile cult in Waco, Texas, came to a fiery end. And so that happened on April 19th. And then that got all these right-wing, racist, anti-abortion militias to get started, like the Michigan Militia and the Oklahoma City Bombers and all these other nut jobs. And so more actions happened, like Oklahoma City and the Phineas Priesthood bank robberies and all this insane shit, other militia and white supremacist activity. So just be on your toes on April 19th in case any of these nut jobs start getting all excited and jazzed. And then the next day, relax and blaze up on 420. All right, now I'm really talked out. So any more shit, we'll save it at the end if there's time. We have another set of tunes to play. We are going to go over time, and that's okay. Let's play a song by the Asylum Street Spankers. I should mention, we're still going to play tracks from the Love, Peace, and Poetry series, something we started as a kind of a balance during the three-show series we did, The Trial of George W. Bush. For balance, we played from Love, Peace, and Poetry. Tonight, we're playing from Asian psychedelic music, Asian psychedelic bands from the 1960s. Also, Bill Hicks' comedy in response to uber retard idiot Jay Leno repeating, using comedy to perpetrate the myths about the stimulus package. And a William Shatner track. All of that is to come. But first, here is the Asylum Street Spankers doing Winning the War on Drugs.
Lazy boy, just watching my TV. There's something that the newsman can't explain to me. Maybe I'm just paranoid as I set my reefer down. If there's a war on drugs going on, how come they're all around? But we're winning the war on drugs. We're winning the war on drugs. Praise the Lord and pass the bomb. We're winning the war on drugs. You can grow them in your backyard or score them off. Put your hands against the car, we're winning the war on drugs. Ooh. Tony scored 10 kilos from a pair of shiny black shoes. Ooh. With an eagle in his haircut and an earphone on his tongue. Ooh. After he got busted, he couldn't make no bail. Cause we're making money off the stand. Hicks and the laughter he creates by burning all your records cause the artists were all baked. On this earth there's flowers, fungus, herbs and weeds to take. If those things are legal, then God made a mistake. But we're winning the war on drugs. We're winning the war on drugs. Praise the Lord and pass them on. We're putting the war on drugs. Yeah, we're winning the war on drugs. We're
Because I'm missing right now, even as we speak, my favorite cultural train wreck, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. I'm like a rubbernecker, man. Every night it's the crash of fucking metal when that show starts. Me and my friends have a little office pool wondering exactly which episode and which guest is going to be on the night Jay finally puts a 9mm in his mouth and blows his Dorito shilling head off his fucking body. I think it's going to be Joey Lawrence from the show Blossom. Other of my friends beg to differ and think Patrick Duffy a more likely culprit.
So, hi everyone. Welcome to the show. Tonight we have Joey Lawrence. Hi, Joey. How are you? It's good to see you again. Boy, it was always my comedic dream to be 44 years old and interviewing a little Tony Danza wannabe every 3 months. Boy, I'm fulfilled as a human spiritually. So anyway, Joey, you're 16 now? You're 16 years old?
Yeah.
That's great, you're 16. You got a license? You driving?
Yeah.
That's great, you're 16, got a license. You got a car? You got a car?
Yeah.
You got a girlfriend? You dating somebody? Anybody special?
Yeah, no, well, she thinks so, I don't.
Good God, what have I done with my life?
His brains splew out, forming an NBC peacock on the wall behind him. Because he's a company man to the bitter fucking end. And it all started when he did the Doritos commercial. Here's the deal, folks. You do a commercial, you're off the artistic roll call forever. End of story. Okay? You're another corporate fucking shill. You're another whore at the capitalist gangbang. And if you do a commercial, there's a price on your head. Everything you say is suspect. And every word that comes out of your mouth is now like a turd falling into my drink. Selling Doritos on fucking TV. What a fucking whore. And not even when he needed the money either. You know, if you're a young actor, okay, I'll look the other way. But guy, you know, makes $3 million a year. He decides to hawk Doritos to make more money. You don't got enough money, you fucking whore? You got to sell snacks to fucking bovine America now?
Hi, everyone. I'm Jay Leno. Anyone remember where I was when I was funny? Eat Doritos. They're good.
Satan fucking him in the ass on national TV.
They're good and crispy. Here, Satan, try the nut ones.
Cool and flavorful.
Tonight on the show, we have Joey Lawrence and Patrick Duffy.
Yes, tonight's the night. Fuck, if that was his lineup, he'd use an Uzi in his mouth. Just chewing fucking lead. What have I done with my fucking life? I used to be funny. The Hulk that changes clips. He's a sprinkler. The next night, ba-dum-bum-ba-da, bum-bum-ba-da. Ed, did you enjoy your vacation? You are correct, sir. Doc, that's a really nice red coat. Is that the color of it, or is that Jay's brains? He's just jealous because he's never been on the show. You're so right.
Voluptuous, sexy, and mine. She was drifting alone, lost, wanted, and was about to dock without ship. I looked at Johnny's black, jealous eyes, and I knew there was only one course of action. So I rammed my dagger into my best friend's heart. Well, Johnny, Johnny, what we gonna do? 'Cause it's all coming down to me or you. She's my
Let's go. Ready? From the top. My favorite shows on TV have 12 minutes of advertising. I can't get behind that kind of time.
Eat quickly, drive faster, make more money now. I can't get behind that.
My kids say, he said to me, and I'm like, and he's like, and she's like,
it's all he's all, she's all.
I can't get behind that kind of, like, English. That'll be 6 to 8 weeks before delivery.
The rising oceans, the warming temperatures.
The dying polar bears, no tigers in 50 years.
Rising poison in the air and water.
I can't understand why the price of gas suddenly rises when oil goes up.
But takes months to go down long after oil falls.
I can't get behind any of that. I can't get behind the gods, who are more vengeful, angry, and dangerous if you don't believe in them.
Why can't all these gods just get along? I mean, they're omnipotent and omnipresent. What's the problem?
What's the problem? What about the men who say, do as I do? Believe in what I say for your own good, or I'll kill you. I can't get behind that.
I can't get behind that. Everybody knows everything about all of us.
That's too much knowledge.
I can't get behind that.
Drivers using my streets to learn. If you learn to play the drums, you gotta go to a studio. Go to a parking lot, for God's sakes. Why are you jeopardizing my life? I can't get behind a student driver.
I can't get behind a driver who drives like a student driver. If you're gonna drive an urban assault vehicle, then get off the phone and keep your eyes on the road.
Lifetime guarantee? Whose lifetime? Not mine. I haven't that much time left. Let's make it yours. Everybody's got a longer life than me. Leaf blowers. Is there anything more futile?
Car alarms.
Clap off.
Clap on.
Spam.
Size matters.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it
no,
does.
It doesn't. No,
yes,
it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
My
yes,
phone
does.
Rings.
Make millions in minutes.
It's a computer.
Lose inches in hours.
Leave me the hell alone.
Eat more. Spend less.
The colonel is breakdancing. Give me a break.
Credit terms arranged.
I can't get behind any of that. I can't get behind so-called singers. They can't carry a tune. Get paid for talking.
Well, maybe I could get behind that.
Well, I can't. If you have to fix it with a computer, quantized, pitch-corrected, nobly inspected, then you can't do it. And I can't get behind that.
I can't get behind a fat ass.
Yeah. Bill, can you turn around and do one more?
Always can do one more.
Let's hit it.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message. It's not easy to perpetrate hysteria or Cold War propaganda or scapegoating entire classes of people instead of pursuing, I don't know, real problems. But I was proud of my record of spying and doubling the prison population and focusing on issues. And I'm glad that marijuana was never legal under my regime. Sure, I was young once and used to toot a lot of blow in my college days and had that little problem with alcohol. But since then, I found that power through Christian supremacy and holy theocracy. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
is Dr. Laura Hoare saying I hope you all have a fine Thanksgiving and that your bird is stuffed well. Did you notice, even though my dear President Bush threw Rummy off the ship, that he told him, don't float away too far, Rummy. I still have a Presidential Medal of Freedom to pin on you. Yes, sir, I'm starting to get suspicious about every time he opens his mouth and says, you're doing a fine job, that it's like the mafia kiss of death. Not long after he utters those words, baby, you're gone. So let's get back to the fun stuff. Tomcat getting married in Italy. That's important news, isn't it? But besides that, let's just remember, if Jeffrey Dahmer had been a Republican, I'd have had to tell him to stop having dinner with young boys. We lost everything. Get too old for this.
Oh, shit, man. Put out a warning when you do one of those, man.
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole. And we have runner-ups as well. Sunday, April 5th, 2009, at VoltaRadio.com, ReverendBookburn.com, and Radio4All.net. The first runner-up is actually not a person, but a group of people. The members of the corporate media and gossip columnists who have been trashing Madonna, and specifically her efforts to adopt another child from Africa. First of all, Madonna has a lifetime history of extreme charitable giving and making a difference in parts of the world where these corporate media fucks would never even dream of setting foot, let alone adopting or saving the life of somebody in said part of the world. And they made an issue because she visited one school in a Chanel suit or something like that. Assholes. This is somebody who's ready to commit the rest of her life to helping this child that she met there. The bashers and trashers of the adoption. Runner-up to Asshole of the Week number one. Runner-up to Asshole of the Week number two is also corporate media, entertainment media, celebrity, gossip media, writers who have been trashing Madonna's ex, Sean Penn, in so many great films, in so many different diverse roles. Incredible in all of them. Recently, absolutely incredible in the newer version of Milk. And now they are trashing him, saying that he doesn't have the ability to be funny because... What happened to the fart sounds? We need fart sounds for Asshole of the Week. Stonerhead guys over there. First Cheech from Cheech and Chong.
Oh, shit, man. Put out a warning when you do one of those, man.
That's better. The corporate media / entertainment media writers have been trashing Sean Penn and saying he's not going to be funny in his new casting as one of the Three Stooges. How can he not be fucking funny as one of the Three Stooges? He's great in everything he does, including his early funny stuff. So these writers are trashing good people, and maligning efforts that they couldn't dream of doing, as well as a humanitarian side to both of these people that they will never know in their lifetime. So trashers of Sean Penn of late, second runner-ups to Asshole of the Week, and that leads us to the very special someone tonight. The recipient of Asshole of the Week is Robert Kevin Carlino. Robert Carlino is the paid youth minister in Franklin Township, New Jersey, at the Malaga Assembly of God Church, who was caught downloading 134 images of child pornography between last November 6th through 13th, featuring a 9-year-old female and an adult male who was in nothing but his white socks. This makes this particular asshole just as bad as the repressed, internally conflicted, sexually schizophrenic, moral holy rolling, sick fuck pedophile priests and other Taliban types. Robert Kevin Carlino, you are Asshole of the Week. Okay, enough for the fart sounds, thank you. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Laura Hoare, the 2006 and most recent version. Propagandi did Ordinary People Do Fucked Up Things When Fucked Up Things Become Ordinary. And Propagandi also did Ladies' Night in Loserville and Ego Fum Papa, I Am the Pope. Sisters of Mercy did Gimme Shelter. William Shatner did I Can't Get Behind That. The Chevelles did Barbarella. Bill Hicks did Artistic Roll Call from the Rant in E Minor comedy CD. From Asian Psychedelic Music from the Love, Peace, and Poetry series, you heard Yuya Uchi and the Flowers doing Greasy Heart, a Jefferson Airplane cover, and Cambodian Rocks did A2, and started that set off with the Asylum Street Spankers doing Winning the War on Drugs. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme has been Legalize Marijuana and Free the Weed Prisoners. And again, we're going to need to be Mythbusters, and we're also going to need to be loud advocates for marijuana reform and prison reform, since so many of our people, including our dear friend Mr. Z, is doing for such a stupid fucking idiotic reason. Okay, I guess some final things and then we'll get out of here. Keep your eye open for a movie by the creator of West Wing, Aaron Sorkin, making a movie about that suck-ass website called Facebook. And that ought to be very interesting, those scandalous people. Bill O'Reilly has announced that he will boycott Spain. And I'm sure they're going to feel a real cultural void in this developed nation with a real culture, saying, "Oh, gee, we're missing a hate spewing bullshit Inmeister from the worst propaganda spinning network since Pravda. Oh, we won't get Bill O'Reilly to visit us anymore." And Newt Gingrich joined the Church of Pedophilia, the Catholic Church, in his bid to either become the front runner in the Republican Party or to spearhead a new right-wing third party. That's pretty laughable. All right, write to me, RevBookburn@sjcdc.org. Next week, we're not doing the Easter, what some people will do to get nailed show. And actually, there's 2 weekends full of hot stuff. So we're doing the birthday show late. The next show is April 26th, Reverend Bookburn's birthday show. Details available maybe later, or maybe everything will just be a surprise. Updates, playlists, always at reverendbookburn.com. This show will probably be up in a week, available 24/7 for free at Radio For All, radioforall.net. Thank you, Pastor Rex Cat, who patiently is our co-producer, editor, mixer, and a whole lot more, and the person who uploads the shows at Radio For All. Reverend Bookburn at YouTube, youtube.com/RevBookburn. On MySpace, myspace.com/ReverendBookburn. Let's see. I think that's it. We're not going to give an update on the animation project just yet. Just stay in touch with ReverendBookburn.com. Updated today. And all kinds of links and goodies also there. And we will see you on the birthday show on April 26th. And going to close out with the band entitled Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. This track is entitled San Francisco. Good night.